Well, if you've got one of these small Gospels, please do pick it up and turn to page 26. Turn to page 26, and I'm going to be reading a very short portion of what is often what would be referred to as John chapter 8. This is a sort of, the Bible has these chapters and verses. Maybe you've heard of that before. The big numbers are the chapters, and the smaller numbers are the verses. But if you get a bit confused, don't worry about it. It's all fine. We're reading from page 26, and we're going to read this section that is marked Dispute Over Jesus' Testimony. And we're going to be focusing particularly on verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, Where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching at the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. Well, over the next few weeks, we are looking in these life morning events at the Gospel of John, this small eyewitness account of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And our focus is on three short, punchy statements that Jesus made that tell us a little bit about the life we can find in Jesus. Well, I wonder if you could picture this scene. It's Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. It's a bustling and busy city with worshippers who've gathered to the temple, which would have been the focus of life for Old Testament religion, to celebrate something called the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacle is just a word for a tent. It's busy, and all the crowds seem to be talking about is Jesus. Some of them say he's a good man. Some say he's a liar and deceives people. But they all keep quite quiet about it because the religious leaders do not like Jesus. It's a bit like whispering at the back of the class in school because teacher is there. And into this scene, Jesus comes. About halfway through the festival, Jesus comes to the temple and starts to teach. And people are amazed. And again, on the last day, the greatest day of the festival, again, Jesus teaches the people. And amongst the things he says to them is what we read in chapter 8, verse 12 on page 26. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I wonder if you were there 2,000 years ago, maybe you'd been whispering about what you thought about Jesus. What would you think when he said that? What do you think he's talking about? Well, I think the first thing we can say about what Jesus is saying is that it revolves around this idea of light and darkness. A couple of years ago, I'd been up in London for a concert, for a gig. And I'd got a late train home back to Liphook. The train got in quite late, and I was walking home to our house, our house is probably the opposite end of Liphook from the train station. And as I neared the house, suddenly and surprisingly to me, the streetlights all went out. Everything went off. Now, I don't think it was a power cut, but rather it was, in the prudence of the local authority, that at a certain point in the evening, the streetlights go out. You could stay up late and test that out for yourselves, I suppose. And that the streetlights at some point in the evening go out. So what did I do? Well, immediately I pulled out my smartphone and turned on the torch. I wasn't far from home. I knew the way, but I still needed the torch to light the way home and to help me put my key in the front door. I needed a light in the darkness. And that is what Jesus says he is, doesn't he? He is the light of the world. If we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but will have light. And this picture of following the light is actually, interestingly, quite clearly connected to the festival that they'd been celebrating in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. It was a festival that reminded the Jewish nation of their past. They had many years previously been rescued out of Egypt and had lived in these tents, these tabernacles, as God guided them through the wilderness. And how God had guided them through the wilderness is that he'd guided them through a pillar of cloud and light. Maybe you've seen this if you've seen a film version of something like The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, or you've seen The Prince of Egypt animated movie or something like that. There's this great pillar of light that guides God's people. So like that pillar of cloud and light that guided God's people through the desert, Jesus is saying that he is something similar. Jesus is the blinding light in the darkness that we need to follow. But why do we need this light? Well, we see it there in what Jesus says. Because it appears that the world is in darkness. And what happens when we're in darkness? Well, we can't see what is real reality. When I was younger, my sister used to comment that when she looked at my clothing choices, it seemed to her that I dressed in the dark. Now, some people, not least my wife and my children, may still feel that that is what my dress sense is like, that I look like I dress in the dark. But the point is, when we can't see, we make all sorts of mistakes, don't we? I wonder if you could try it yourself this evening. Turn all the lights off in your house, close your eyes, and do your best to walk from your front door to your bed in your bedroom. My guess is, now don't do anything that will hurt yourself or anything like that, but my guess is that you will probably make some mistake or another. You will probably, in my family, in our house, I'll probably bang my thigh on the edge of our bed or something like that and get a big bruise or something. Or you'll walk into a door or whatever. We all would make a mistake in that situation. When it is completely dark and we can't see, we will make some mistake or another. We need light, and that's what Jesus promises to do for us. He can show us real reality. And what is that real reality? Well, it is the reality of the darkness that we're all in. It is the reality that the world is a broken and messed up place. Now, you don't need to be a brain surgeon or a rocket scientist to know that, do you? Just take a look around the world. Log on to BBC News and see the tragedies that are unveiled there of wars. See the heartbreak about how people are treated by other people. See economic disaster. See cruelty that we would never want to hear about. And this, friends, it's not a recent development. It wasn't all sunny last week and it's horrible this week. Any look back through time, through history, will make you realize that this is the way things have always been. The world is in many ways beautiful, but it's also a place where there is much sorrow, much sadness, and much pain. And of course, we have to ask ourselves, well, why is the world in such a messed up place? Maybe you can think of many reasons, but the key reason is that the world has been and is full of humans. Full of men and women who treat and have treated their fellow humans terribly. G.K. Chesterton, a writer about the late 19th century into the early 20th century, he wrote the Father Brown stories. Maybe you've seen the TV adaptation. Amongst other things, once answered the question, what is wrong with the world? With the following, I am. What is wrong with the world? I am. And if we're honest with ourselves, we must come to the same conclusion. The problem is not so much out there, although we'd long it to be, but the problem is often what's in here. We are what the Bible and Jesus refer to as sinners. We're those who turn away from God and seek to live our lives our own way instead of God's way. And because of this, we are those who stand under God's just judgment and are found wanting. And this is what Jesus helps us to see in his light, that we are all what we wished we weren't. We are far worse than we would like to admit, and we are in a far worse position than we ever realized. But that's not the only thing that Jesus in his light helps us to see. He also, friends, helps us to see the way out of this darkness, the mess we find ourselves in. And what is that way? Well, he tells us there in verse 12, it is through following him. Like the Israelites escaping slavery in Egypt, who followed the pillar of cloud and light, if we follow Jesus, we will never walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life, he says. If we follow Jesus, then we will understand the problem we all face, and we will also see the solution, the light that leads to life. If we follow him, or trust him, or believe in him, then we will start the journey from darkness we all once walked in, and we will have the light that leads to life. Earlier in this short account of Jesus' life, on page 9, we read this. In chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is the way, therefore, by which we can escape the darkness, the death we will all face because of our rebellion against God. If we trust in him, if we believe in him, if we follow him, then we will not perish. Which is, of course, the natural consequence of life in the darkness, isn't it? You put a plant in the darkness, it'll die, won't it? But instead, we will have the light of life, the light that leads to eternal life, life now and life forever. And the light, Jesus, is not just for those and such as those. Maybe you felt like that in the past. Maybe Jesus and the message of Christianity seems very appealing to you. But you seem to get the impression it's just for good people. Maybe you felt like that before. You've turned up at a church service and you've been made to feel a bit like you don't fit in, that this isn't a place for you. Maybe you think it's just for good people, isn't it, Christianity? Maybe you're tempted to think it's just for cultured people. You know, the sort of people who like choral evensong. Nothing wrong with that, of course. But you think it's only for those people who can engage with that sort of culture. Or maybe you just think it's for posh people. But Jesus seems to be saying to us that he is for everyone. Look back at chapter 8, verse 12, on page 26. I am the light, not of posh people or rich people or any sort of type of people, but of the world. Not the light of one category of people or another. He is for anyone who will follow him. Jesus won't turn you away if you seek him. But sadly, that is not how some seem to react to Jesus. I wonder if you noticed that immediately after he says this phrase, he immediately gets attacked by the religious leaders. they don't seem to like him. And it appears when we look at verse 20 that some people would have seized him and done him harm if it hadn't yet come his time to face. So it says there, because his hour had not yet come. So it seems that some people would have harmed him if it had not been for that. Jesus speaks these wonderful words, saying that he is the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. But immediately people say, I don't want to follow you, Jesus. I don't want to follow you, and I'm going to attack you and the words you say. And I think that opposition should, I think, prompt each of us to think, well, will I listen to Jesus? Or will I reject him? Those are clearly the two options that we're all faced with. Will we follow or will we turn away? Friends, can I encourage you as you listen to Jesus to hear the call he speaks to each one of us? Come and follow. Believe in me. Trust in me. That's what Jesus calls each one of us to do. For in Jesus we have light that shows us our great problem and shows us the way out. Let me pray. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would see that Jesus is who he says he is, and that we would do what he tells us, that we would follow him, and that we would have, therefore, life and light in his name. Amen.